We need those reminders, and it's nice to even see a little tag on the end, adjust that to end the song that way. It's funny because it reminds me the last Sunday night when we had our trunk or treat event, we had our, 12 or 13 trunks and, started with creation and went all the way, and I was the last one, and given the gospel in my trunk, mine and Angie's, was the cross and the resurrection. And so we had a cross and we had an empty tomb and everything. And so I've got my little spiel, I've got my presentation. I'm trying to make sure I get right, and I want to be very clear about the gospel and also the resurrection. I had my three points, the three things that Jesus' resurrection proved. And I'm going through them, and the first two or three times I'm presenting it, I've kind of got my little cheat sheet here to make sure I follow the order and do it right, and it's very important. And by the time four or five times I'm rolling with it now, and I can kind of tweak it a little bit. I can add or subtract, and be a little more comfortable with it, and engage the crowd and everything. And so as I present my three reasons or three things that Jesus' resurrection proved, I'm very pleased to be able to announce that and to share that. This little girl stands in the very front of one group, and she's just looking at me. She's just all smiles, and she's decorated in a princess or whatever she was in. And she says, "And you know why he did all of that? Because he loves us." And I thought, I've got all of this presentation down. I've got all the theology as sound as it can be, and I did not communicate the love of God through his son Jesus Christ. And believe me, after that, I made sure to let everybody know, and Jesus loves you, and that's exactly why God raised his son from the dead. And so I thought, wow, that's great. So that that little end of that song really reminded me of the love of God, and we need that. And also it says to come to the altar, right? When you think about coming to the altar, you think about coming to pray, and there's many reasons to do that. Now, first and foremost is to come confess your sins and acknowledge that you need a Savior, and acknowledge that there is no other Savior but Jesus, and he will save. He will forgive you your sins. Every single thing that Jesus did can get credited to your account, and God the Father will look at you, and he will see his Son in whom he is well pleased. It's the great exchange, and everybody needs it, and you cannot get a better deal than that. But you can also come to the altar to pray for your needs. And a lot of times I think we think of that, National Day of Prayer. We come before the altar and pray for our country and pray for, every week we pray for, various needs of the church and things along those lines. We have a prayer ministry here, the Greater Works Prayer Ministry, that meet, small groups meet at various times during the week to pray for three things: missions, evangelism, and the ministries of the church. That's what we focus on. Wednesday night we come together during refuel, and we spend an hour, first 25, 30 minutes we focus on the Word of God. Last 25, 30 minutes we pray for each other and the things that are important to us. Even people who text in from outside the church send us prayer requests, and we pray for those things, and it's very meaningful. But another reason to come to the altar is to intercede. And that's what we're going to have an opportunity today. You're going to have an opportunity to do that right there where you are in various prayer sessions based on this being the International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians. So this morning we have an opportunity to focus our hearts and our minds and our prayers unified in one direction. And that's to pray prayers of intercession on behalf of people all across the world who are suffering for one reason only. They are suffering because they have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone for their salvation. They have chosen to respond to God, to respond to the Bible with faith, and specifically believe the Bible, especially when Jesus makes this statement: "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And if you weren't quite clear, he goes on to say, "And no one comes to the Father except through me." No one goes to heaven except through Jesus. There's no access except through Jesus. That's a very exclusive claim and an unpopular claim. You can talk about God in general, and you even got a lot of world leaders that say, well, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, all roads lead, they do not. That Jesus never made that claim. He never allowed us to think that of him. And so he makes a very exclusive claim, and these people have chosen in their various cultures to believe that exclusive claim. And the exclusive claims that Jesus is the Son of God were sufficient to get him killed. The people in his day knew exactly what Jesus meant and by what he said, and so they charged him with blasphemy. And had Jesus Christ been anyone but the Son of the living God, those accusations, those charges would have been legitimate. Jesus even told the Pharisees in John chapter 5, verses 39 to 40, he says, "You search the Scriptures." That's a good thing. He says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but it is they who bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." And we live in a world where the vast majority of people refuse to come to Jesus to have life. And there's various reasons for that, but most do not. You know, but I always want to bring it back to here. What matters is right here. What about you? What about me? You know, have you placed your faith in Jesus? Have you come to Jesus for life? Will you come to Jesus? Will you place your faith in him? Will you surrender to him as Lord and receive the eternal life that only exclusive Jesus can provide? Now, then when Jesus, you know, confronted these religious leaders, and now in particular places all across the globe, coming to Jesus in order that you may have life is a costly decision, a costly response, a costly experience. Jesus warned about this. This should not surprise us. He warned the crowds that followed him. He said simply, "Count the cost of being my disciple." That, you know, ought to tell us something. And really, you and I know precious little of the persecution that many of our fellow believers, these are our spiritual brothers and sisters, who you will spend, if you're a child of God and a follower of Christ, you will spend eternity with these folks. We know nothing about what they're facing. And did you know that the number one response to those who are suffering persecution across the globe, the number one request is simply, "Will you pray for us? Will you pray for us?" We certainly can do more than that, and I'm going to encourage you at the end of the service to do more than that, but we certainly should not do less than that. Did you know that one of the things we tend to forget, and I think these persecuted believers get it much better than we tend to forget that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of what God offers, tends to spread, and the kingdom advances when God's people suffer persecution. In Acts chapter 7, we'll read the story of the first martyr of the church, a man named Stephen. He was an incredible follower of Jesus, a lover of the Lord, and he was stoned to death after sharing the gospel and confronting the Jews about their rejection of Jesus as their Messiah. And a man named Saul was there at the stoning. He himself was active and busy persecuting the church, but soon he had an encounter with the risen Jesus Christ. He becomes a disciple, he becomes an apostle, and he's used by God to write most of the New Testament. Then in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 21, we read these words. "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists." These were Greek-speaking Jews who had embraced the Greek culture, including false worship, "preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord." Now, those undergoing persecution for their faith today seem to understand this. They seem to get this, and it's reflected not only in their lives, but in their requests. They seem to get that in the past, the gospel has spread when Christ's followers face persecution, and that gospel spreads today when believers face the same suffering. Now, let's talk about us for a second. What do we be like? We seek to avoid any and all discomfort. We seek to avoid it. They do not. Thus, when they ask for prayer, it's not prayers for God to remove them from their situation or circumstances. In fact, most of the prayers that I can find in the Bible are not prayers of "get me out of here, get me out of this." To me, one of the dangers, in my view, of the end times theology of a rapture is that God's bound to give me a bus ticket out of this place before anything uncomfortable happens. And so Christians rest in that, and they say, well, you know, that sounds bad, but I'm not going to be here. Well, you might be here. You might be here through some serious suffering and persecution. You might experience that, and you might not. But I think it strengthens our faith to believe that we will suffer something and that God expects that. In fact, that's the norm. So these folks ask for prayer, and their prayers are strength to endure and, amazingly, for the gospel to penetrate the hearts of those who are persecuting them. You know, we read Jesus' words, turn the other cheek. This is more. This is heavy stuff. To pray for those who are murdering, raping, beating, cutting. I'll let you put add your own thoughts in there. And to think that these folks, that's their request. They say, hey, will you pray for us? Pray for us to have strength to endure and for these people who are doing these things to us to come to know the Savior. Very, very different. We have an opportunity to do something important today, to pray and intercede for these persecuted believers. And I want to begin this morning by asking you to pause right where you are and give your attention to a fellow believer, your brother in Christ, and others that are like him, a gentleman named Jean, J-E-A-N, who is from Benin, Africa. And he was a devil worshiper, but now he worships the one true God, and he asks for your prayers because he changed teams, he changed sides, and him and others like him are suffering. Let me read you the story. It says, Gene's family were devil worshipers who participated in traditional ceremonies such as worshiping Satan and placing curses on people. When an evangelist came to Gene's house, wouldn't you love to just know the whole story of that? When an evangelist came to Gene's house to share the gospel and preached about the peace of God in Christ. Don't forget the peace of God. That's one of the things that the lost world lacks and desperately needs. They may not believe what you believe, but if you ask if they have peace, most often, if they're honest, they do not. He placed his faith and trust in Christ. After he became a Christian, his father tried to stab him with a knife and then tried to shoot him with a bow and arrow. Gene fled to his uncle's house where he remained for 2 years until his uncle decided it was time for him to leave. Gene is married and has a daughter, and they are currently staying with a Christian friend while Gene and his family do farm work in order to survive. There are numerous ones like this. And so the prayer request that Gene asks for is going to be up on the screen here. Ask God to reveal to the community. This is what he wants, the difference that Jesus has made in his life, as well as other believers like him. And then if you'll flip to the next one, I promise you go back. And then ask for opportunities for Gene and others to share the gospel and strength to endure. So you can go back to the first screen. If you'll just pause right where you are, would you pray for this man, Gene, and his family right where you are? And then I'm going to ask after a few minutes, Dottie Smith is going to come and she's going to close this portion of our prayer time.
Let's pray together. Lord, we know so little about what people like Gene go through. Father, I pray for this man. I pray for his daughter, his family. Father, I pray that through his life and the peace that you've given him in Jesus, that the community would see a difference, that they would see and they would want to know, how in the world can this man still continue to believe in you and have peace in you when his father's tried to kill him, when his family's disowned him and kicked him out. Father, I pray that his testimony would go far and wide, and I pray for opportunities for Gene to share you with people and share that the whole reason he's at peace is because of what Jesus has done for him and because of the freedom he has in Jesus, regardless of the lack of freedom in his physical life. Father, I pray for opportunities, and I pray that people would come to know you because of Gene's testimony. I pray that his father and his uncle would come to know you, and his family would turn to you as they see what you have done in their son and their nephew's life. And their Lord, just honor and glorify yourself through Gene's testimony and life. And oh God, I pray, you say in Thessalonians that you will also glorify him because of his stand for you. Lord, we pray for your gospel to reach many hearts because of the life of this man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Voice of the Martyrs and Lifeway Films has produced a movie that starts showing in theaters tomorrow. It'll run tomorrow, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. It'll be showing each night at 7 p.m. here. It's pretty probably much in most every city somewhere, but here it'll be Regal Hollywood on Woodruff Road, Regal Cherrydale, and then Regal Simpsonville at 7 p.m. The movie is called Sabina, Tortured for Christ, the Nazi Years. It tells how Sabina and her husband, Richard, who's the founder of Voice of the Martyrs, tells more, I guess, from her perspective, but how they suffered arrest, imprisonment, torture, persecution in Romania, first from the Nazis, then from the communists, but yet they had an opportunity to leave, but they chose to stay. They felt God calling them to remain, calling them to suffer. Probably what most, you know, in the world would say, that's crazy. Why, you know, why didn't you get out? But they felt like they had a job to do, and God used them in a very powerful way. And so they gave up comfort. And these were not, you know, these were not desperately poor, unintelligent people. These were people who had tasted the good life, and could have went back to those comforts that they chose to give up in order to share Christ. They gave up comfort to advance the kingdom. And as part of our prayer focus on this special day, Voice of the Martyrs has provided us a movie clip that's just a few minutes called Finding Life, and it gives you a little insight into it. It's a little dark and sometimes hard to hear, but we're going to try to play this now and show you this little video clip to encourage us and even to perhaps consider going to the movie. A group of us will be going tomorrow evening.
In 1940, Nazi forces invaded Richard and Sabina Wurmbrand's home country, Romania. There were no safe spaces for Jews. And though Christian, Richard and Sabina were ethnic Jews.
Be afraid, for I am with you. Genesis 26. Do not be afraid of them. Joshua 8.
I'm kind of afraid.
They are asking to see IDs. All our lives remaining. Now we're Jews only.
Christian, really?
Show me where the fish party is going, right?
Dă-te la o parte, știu că ascunzi evrei aici.
Puteți să vă uitați, dar nu e niciun evreu aici.
Perhaps you should get out if you still can.
Run away?
If we stay, I'll follow the others into prison. It will be the end of our life together.
Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. We believe this or we don't.
Richard and Sabina, like many Christians during World War II, had a choice. Lay low and hope the worst passed them by. Or get involved and be the hands and feet of Christ. All at great personal risk.
I think we have to stay. We have a job to do.
If they are coming, then they're coming. Let's not think of them as enemies to be feared, but rather as a mission.
Like Sabina and Richard Wurmbrand, today's persecuted Christians, living in hostile areas and restricted nations, are bold witnesses for Christ. Choosing to give up their comfort and safety in this world in order to find a life that counts for eternity. The first request from our persecuted Christian brothers and sisters is, will you pray for me? As we pray for them to endure opposition in order to advance the gospel, may we be inspired by their example to pay any price necessary in obedience to Christ.
You know, times may change and locations and things along those lines, but the persecution and the suffering of God's people is timeless, and it's also, you know, part of God's plan as a sovereign Lord. He is over these things, and this is part of the call. And so you can go to sabinamovie.com, watch the full trailer for the movie. And it certainly helps us to understand some of the hard decisions that people like Richard and Sabina made and continue to make today, and maybe encouraging us to be willing to, you know, sacrifice comforts for the kingdom as well. I want to lead you in a time of prayer for several situations that are very fresh. These are not old. These are current issues that are going on. And I'm going to walk us through four or five of them, and then Drew Townsend is going to come and close us after a time of each one. So let me share first. This is a story from Voice of the Martyrs. Government prohibits church from meeting. This is in Cuba. A house church of 1,000 members, picture that, a house church of 1,000 members has been banned from gathering for services by the Cuban government. In recent weeks, the government announced that churches in Cuba could begin meeting again in person on Sunday, October 10th. October 8th, however, Amparo Gallo, remember that name, Amparo Gallo, pray for him, Amparo Gallo's house church in Santa Clara received word from the government it would not be allowed to meet for in-person services. And I think we have the next one here for this church in Cuba. Asked that God to grant them wisdom. We don't have this, but we have our own wisdom that we need in dealing with our own government at times, and they need wisdom to honor the Lord while dealing with government restrictions, and also to ask the Lord to remove those restrictions. Would you bow your heads for a moment and pray for this church in Cuba and Amparo Gallo as its leader? Thank you. The next story I want to share with you is Somali Christians mourn loss of fellow believer. Somali Christians are mourning the loss of an influential Christian woman. A man who served alongside her, quote, said, "Those of us left behind may grieve because we miss our brothers and sisters, but the believers who die are happy to be with Christ. In Somalia, followers of Christ look forward to heaven where there is no more pain, but here on earth life can be lonely. The families and community of Christians cannot share their beliefs. The few disciples they manage to share the gospel with seldom meet regularly. which is all the more reason we should. There are no church buildings and no fellowship gatherings. On rare occasions, they may meet for worship in private houses. These believers also do not have the comfort of getting proper care in hospitals when they get sick. The challenges go on and on. Our sister who died dedicated her life to serving her people because of her faith in Christ. She left comfort to travel to a country suffering from war, famine, the collapse of civil foundations, and terrorism. She spent years apart from her family, apart from her brothers and sisters in Christ, and apart from a comfortable lifestyle. This fellow believer has pledged to continue this woman's legacy, and so we asked for prayer to strengthen these Somalian believers and ask God to give them comfort in the loss of this woman along with others. Would you bow your heads and lift these requests up as well? Okay, thank you. I want to share another story of a Christian, recent Christian convert rejected by his family and struggles with his health. Johanna's wife, remember him, Johanna's wife and children left him when he placed his faith in Christ several years ago. Just think about that. His extended family beat him severely many times because of his faith, and he was imprisoned in an attempt to force him to return to Islam. Eventually, he relocated from his area of Iraq to Kurdistan to flee the hostility. As a result of sustained physical abuse, his long-term health is deteriorating, and he's recently been diagnosed with a chronic disorder. He asks for prayer that God will use him in encouraging his brothers and sisters to unite as a church and care for others. So we ask for Johanna to be prayed over in Iraq. Ask God to unify the church. That's his request, not necessarily for his health, but we want to ask God to strengthen him, but also to heal Johanna. Would you pray for him now? Thank you. Next article, pastor killed while returning home. On Saturday, September the 11th, Islamists ambushed and killed a pastor on the road in Kaduna State, Nigeria. The pastor had visited his son at the local university and was traveling home when the attackers confronted him and killed him. Quote, "They butchered my husband and took his motorbike," his wife said. The Islamists then used the motorbike to travel into the pastor's community where they attacked and killed several others. The pastor leaves behind his wife and their five sons. Pray for this community as they recover from this attack. Pray for this grieving family in Nigeria who have lost their husband and pastor, but as well as others who have also lost family members. Thank you. I want to share one more. This is out of India. Persecution against Christians is on the rise across India as a result of new and more stringent anti-conversion laws. While anti-conversion laws have existed for decades in large areas of the country, several Indian states have recently passed new freedom of religion bills. Sound familiar? Freedom of religion bills that prohibit coerced or fraudulent conversions. In addition, they mandate that anyone desiring to change his or her religion must notify authorities prior to the conversion or face the possibility of hefty fines and up to 10 years imprisonment. The new laws have created a climate where Hindus feel the freedom to question anyone, go into any house or church accusing believers of forced conversion or creating community disharmony because of their Christian activities, said Voice of the Martyrs field worker in India. Hindu groups and individuals feel they have the liberty to police their village. In a tribal village in Madhya Pradesh state, a mob of radical Hindus recently attacked Christians during a prayer service. I mean, can you imagine that we're praying and this happens? Beating a pastor and several church members and killing an unborn baby. Lila Bahai was 8 months pregnant with her second child when the extremists assaulted her, knocking her to the ground. One attacker then kicked her in the stomach, leaving her in pain. Several hours passed before Lila was able to receive hospital care, and her unborn son did not survive the attack. When the pastor and other church members tried to file a complaint with police, their complaint was rejected. Believers in the community then staged a silent protest outside the police station, but authorities still refused to file a case against the extremists. A Voice of the Martyrs worker has helped the believers find a lawyer to pursue the case in court. In another incident earlier this year in Karnataka state, a group of Hindu extremists barged into a church, locked it from the inside, and began beating the pastor and other believers with anything they could find, including Bibles and musical instruments like tambourines. More than 24 believers were beaten during the attack, which lasted about 45 minutes. The pastor, Subhash, his wife, Rathna, and their two daughters have ministered in several villages since 2004, and Pastor Subhash currently leads a congregation of about 150 members. When the pastor's teenage daughter, Sarah, saw her father being beaten, she fell to her knees before the attackers and begged them to stop. They pushed her away, and when her pleas continued, they began to kick her in the stomach. She suffered internal bleeding for more than 2 weeks as a result of her injuries. After the attack, police agreed finally to register a case against the Hindu extremist. But when the extremist presented false witnesses who accused the pastor of forced conversions, police filed charges against Pastor Subhash instead. Voice of the Martyrs has helped the pastor and his family with medical and legal expenses, and they've continued their ministry work while recovering from their injuries. Incidents like this have increased dramatically in the last several months, a Voice of the Martyrs field worker said. Pray for Christians in India as they endure increased persecution. Pray for their witness to be seen and used of God. Would you pray for this group in India?
Heavenly Father, what an amazing thought that in your sovereignty you gave us an opportunity to love you, which means the opportunity to not is there. And while you are consumed with your glory and showing us who you are, your heart still hurts as Jesus weeps and intercedes for those suffering. And Lord, we want to give our brothers and sisters across the world the greatest gift, the gift of prayer, and reach across the lands. And Lord, as we plead our case for our brothers and sisters, we know that if we ask anything in your name, you will hear it. When we are gathered together, you're there in the midst. Lord, we think of the country of Cuba, who want to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves in dealing with their government. Lord, we do pray for the freedom to meet together, but they know that more importantly, people need freedom from their sin. We ask these leaders of the church to know how to reach out to their communities and unify the church. And the same need exists in Somalia, where the unification is desperately needed. We think of Iraq, home to some of the oldest churches in the world, so close to the birthplace of Christianity and where it all grew. And Lord, these Christians have been scattered and they're confused and they're hurting. But the power is still there, Lord, as we ask for the same angels who released Peter from prison to still come down. And we ask for miracles to show the people that you are working and you are there. Lord, we ask for those who are being persecuted and thrown in prison to just have the strength and encouragement. Be with the families of those who have died because of religious persecution. Lord, be with the comfort of the church and let them be stronger together, as we've seen over and over in history that persecution unifies and seems to strengthen our church family. Open the eyes of these Muslim leaders as they realize they cannot change the hearts of the people through force. Let them see that the truth is still here and the truth will set them free. Lord, I pray for the country of Nigeria, a country of over 200 million people and half of them are Muslim. We ask for, Lord, just a revival to spread across that nation. Let it ripple across all of Africa so deep, so wide, that we may be impacted everywhere. Lord, we do pray for the country of India. a country so populated and yet so full of Christians that we'll never know about till we get to heaven. Let them realize this life is temporary, and let them pursue to the end so they may receive that crown of righteousness. Give them encouragement, Father. Give them strength for just a short amount of time in this life so we can celebrate with them together in heaven for all of eternity in the not-so-distant future. We thank you for your work and for helping those who are suffering. Amen.
Thank you. All right, if you would, I want to share a brief verse of Scripture with you, and then we'll have a praise time, and then we will close in singing. Take your Bible, turn to Romans 12, Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you don't have a Bible, look under one of the chairs in front of you and pull out that ESV Bible. Turn to page 947, 947. These are familiar verses that speak to the call that God's placed on our life to endure hardship for the sake of Christ and the kingdom. In Romans 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Christians in Rome, says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers," or brothers and sisters, "by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may be able to discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." For most of us, these are familiar verses, and that can also be a challenge to us. And usually I find that we zero in, or when I hear these scriptures focused on, or even myself, we zero in on verse 2, which is a warning, you know, in order to not be conformed to the world, not to be squeezed into the world's mold, and that's an important thing. We're not to be conformed. We're better to be transformed. Trans means to cut across. We're to cut across the grain of the direction that the world is running in. And I think a lot of times we think of it just in terms of spiritual things, but not necessarily in practical life, and in terms of, certainly not in terms of sacrifice or terms of you know, enduring hardship for the sake of the kingdom. And it is true that we're to cut across that grain, because God's people are saved and then they're set apart for Him. But verse 1 is critical to achieving the call laid on us in verse 2. If we miss verse 1, we actually may end up becoming what we're not called to be in verse 2. And you think, well, how's that possible? How does that happen? How might we be conformed to the world? Well, the answer is by trying to avoid suffering and even discomfort, and thus do the saving of our lives, just like you saw in the Sabina video there. But notice in verse 1, Paul starts out, everything he's talking about is based on the first 11 chapters, which obviously we don't have time to cover that, but he's saying, you know, he's begging, he's pleading, here he is appealing, he's exhorting with everything he's got, and he's exhorting these Christians in Rome to offer their bodies, offer their whole lives as living sacrifices, and it says holy, in which we know a lot of times we think about that and we go, well, this is a spiritual purity kind of thing. Not that that's not true, but I think it's more in the context, it's more of a set apartness than it is a purity here. So in other words, it would read, I appeal to you by the mercy of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, set apart, unique, specially for this service. And this is acceptable to God, this sacrificial living. And he says to them, ultimately, this is what worship looks like. This is just as much, if perhaps even more, than you raising your hands and singing songs in church. This is true worship. This is not a dead animal tossed up on the altar and burned. This is a living sacrifice. This is you and I living sacrificially for the advancement of God's kingdom. And when we think about sacrifice, we might think, well, okay, you know, I tithe and I give the first 10%, or, you know, I do this or I do that, or I come over here and fill the baptismal pool up and I serve and I do different things. But when you think about sacrifice, and that is a sacrifice, normally if you really think about sacrifice, there's a cost there. There's something painful there. It tends to mean suffering, pain, cost, and it's all for the glory of the one who saved you and set you apart for this service. And why Paul appeals to these Christians in verse 1, he says, by the mercies of God. by the mercies of God. And you think about mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. So God not giving us what we deserve is the basis for us to be willing to give up our lives if necessary because we've received these mercies. And I think a lot of times we get very practical. We go, yeah, but I'm the head of the house. I'm responsible. I need to be thinking about the future. I need to be a good steward. You know, what about tomorrow? Well, the last time I checked, the Bible says God's mercies are new when? Every morning. Every morning. And that same Greek word for mercies is found in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, which says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of, there it is, mercies, the father, the parent, if you will, of you getting, of you and I not being treated as our sins deserve. So the father, the parent, the producer of this mercies, and notice you've got these two things that come together in describing God. The father of mercies and the God of what? All comfort. Who comforts us in all our affliction. That right there, I'll tell us, wait a minute, that's part of the plan, affliction, suffering. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So I think this is extremely relevant to today. And we seek comfort and we seek to avoid discomfort when at the same time the Father of mercies, which is the basis for why we should be living sacrifices, promises to comfort us and even use us in times where we stand in need of his comfort so that we might be used to comfort others. So I think we have a whole lot to learn from these suffering brothers and sisters in Christ, especially since we don't seem to have that much in common with them. And yet, you know, Paul told Timothy very clearly, anyone who seeks to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. So I think there's kind of a disconnect there. But what I want to do next is I want to share some praises with you. All right, I know this is weighty stuff, and I would encourage you to embrace it. But it's not just to keep us from walking out of here with the weight of all this. I want us to have this weight, but I also want you to know that God is not just in helping people to endure suffering. He's answering prayers, and good things are taking place as well. So, first, I want to share with you this article. Congregation rejoices at new building. This is in Ethiopia. Mother Toltu was raised as a follower of the Oromo traditional religion, but she committed her life to following Christ when she heard the gospel for the first time. She donated a plot of land from her property to be used for a church, and several other believers contributed funds to the construction of the church as well. However, a mob of local Oromo religious groups attacked the believers and tore down the church they had built. With Voice of the Martyrs' support, the church building was reconstructed in 2021. Because we live in the countryside, we do not know people that can help us. All we could do was pray to God, one of the believers said. Well, God has heard our prayers and sent you to help us. After construction had ended, local church leaders visited the congregation to see the new church building. Mother Toltu praised God for the support given to them and expressed her happiness for seeing the rebuilding of the church, a frontline worker reported. Pray that God will bless the congregation as they meet in their new church building. Pray the new church structure will show Christ to those who tore down the original church building. And pray they may seek God and find life in Jesus Christ. So, praise, just pause if you would and just give a sentence prayer of thanksgiving for this new building, for this blessing, and for the Lord to save those who tore down the original structure. Three men arrested for sharing the gospel, and I do put this under a praise because it's kind of both, but I thought it was really well said. Three Indian believers, so here's India again, were arrested for sharing the gospel and interrogated by police for more than 9 hours. After their arrest and while they were still in custody, one of the wives of the men wrote, I am feeling at peace knowing God is in control of the situation. I'm asking that he would be glorified and the national believers to be encouraged and their faith strengthened. I'm starting to feel tired and drained, but still hopeful in him and all the ways he desires to use us and be glorified. The men were released many hours later after police took down identifying details. The three men decided to fast and pray that while they were being held, and they also read scripture together from an app on one of their cell phones. One of the men said the experience was a unique bonding experience among these three men. We do not know if there will be any further effect. Please pray for the wives and the children of the men who were arrested to have peace that surpasses understanding. So I put this under praise. Give thanks for the blessing of God's presence with his persecuted people. And let this be an encouragement to you not to avoid it yourself, to know that if you do go through something difficult, God will be, his presence will be with you, and that we can trust him in that. But also ask the Lord to provide for their families while they are being held. Just pray for that right now. And then one more, this is from, let's see here, from Cuba. Okay, again, what did we see at the beginning? Cuban, great Cuban persecution. What evidence of God's God at work? Frontline workers in Cuba recently celebrated the baptism of more than 100 believers as part of how God's kingdom continues to advance amidst adversity and opposition. In the middle of threats, the chaos from the pandemic, deaths from all sources, the church in Cuba continues, a frontline worker said. Praise God for the faithfulness of our Cuban brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray that these new believers continue growing in their faith, and pray they'll continue to advance the gospel no matter the risk. Just take a moment and thank God for what he's doing there in Cuba. All right, before Stan Smith comes, I'm sorry, actually, Tom, I think Tom Henderson will come and pray. Is that right, Tom? Are you here? No, maybe not. Okay, so I think Stan Smith's going to come, and he's going to close us in just a moment. Before we do, I want to show you something else that we can do. These are two websites that you can go to. Persecution.com is the website for Voice of the Martyrs. You can go there. You can see all kinds of ways to be of assistance in this situation. And then finally, the iCommitToPray.com is a page that's part of Voice of the Martyrs. And what that page will do is you can put your email address on there, and they will send you once a week similar stories. Because, again, everything I've read to you today is from October. Okay, this is how fresh this stuff is and how ongoing it is. But what you have there is you give your email address, and not only can you then receive these brief stories and be able to pray, there's a place on there where you can actually type your prayers in. Now, here's the real neat thing about it. Not only do you type your prayers in, you see as many as you want. You see prayers from all these other believers. And what's really neat is you can kind of scan down. And to me, one of the things I enjoy about, you know, like Wednesday night and other times of prayer, even in our Greater Works Prayer Ministry prayer group, is that when we pray, I get to hear other people pray for me. I get to hear you pray for someone else. And it challenges me and encourages me and it strengthens my faith to do it. Reading these little prayers, they're just little paragraphs of prayer, and they're from all over the world. And it's funny because, you know, most of them are from America, but you'll have, you know, you'll scan down, you'll see one from Finland, one from Ethiopia, one from Africa, you know, or Nigeria, whatever, and all these different places. And you read it, obviously, in English, but you can kind of almost get a feel for the broken English of it a little bit, and you kind of almost hear the dialect in the words and this sort of thing. And it's just neat to sit there and go, people from all, brothers and sisters from Christ are all over the world. God's got his people everywhere, and you sit that and you see that picture of every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and you get a little taste of heaven in prayer. So I would just encourage you to jump on that one and be a part, make this a regular part of what you pray about, because it will impact how you view the world and how you witness as well. And it'll certainly help you in days when you think you have a struggle or a hard time, and you go, you know, I really don't have any challenges at all in comparison to these folks. So God, forgive me for my complaining. Help me to be faithful to you today. Stan's going to come, and he's going to close this time in prayer, and then Carlos is going to come and lead us in one song to conclude, and we will be dismissed. Thank you, Stan.
Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, what a story that we have heard today. Lord, what if our congregation was in New Delhi or in Kolkata or some of these places, Lord? What if that was us over there? What if we were surrounded by a dominant religion with 330 million deities, like in India, in Hinduism? What if they hated us like they hate them there? What if that was us, Lord? How we would appreciate folks like Hampton Heights today, bringing these people up to you. And Lord, we do bring them up. We pray for them. We pray for courage. We pray for faith. We pray for, like Romans 5 says, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. We pray for their character, that it would shine. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us. And Lord, we pray that this hope would keep gurgling up and bubbling up in their lives. We pray for your favor on these lives, so that as people watch them, silently watch them, they would see that these people have been with Jesus, that there's something different about following Jesus in the 330 million Hindu gods there. So, Father, carry on your business. Remind us of what's important. Lord, help us to keep on track with you. And one day in heaven, as we meet these folks, maybe they'll know that we prayed for them on this day, Father. And may we continue on for God's glory, for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.